Good morning.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. I'm Barb Young, and I want to welcome everyone here to Hebron Presbyterian Church, both people who are here and people who are online. Wherever you're coming from, whatever you are bringing with you from this week, we pray that you experience the restoring presence of the living Jesus here. As Hebron is a very good Presbyterian church, and we like to share break bread together quite frequently, as you will notice in our announcements today. Next week, we will begin the fall stewardship season. Join us after that worship for a provided lunch as we hear from the stewardship committee about the campaign. September 21st at 4 p.m. is our annual Bluegrass Gospel Concert. Come bring family and friends to enjoy an evening of music and fellowship, and we now know that we will have a food truck. And the food truck will have hot dogs and barbecue sandwiches. And then we ask you, please join us after the service today in Holman Hall for our fall kickoff luncheon, which if you walk down the hallway, you smelled it. So, finally, today we are celebrating the Lord's Supper. This is the Lord's table, and it is Christ who offers the invitation. All who have been baptized in the name of the triune God are welcome to eat of this meal. If there are no other announcements, let us prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you, Marcus. Please rise and join me as we worship. We are called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Made heaven and earth.
Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of God's name. Make his praise glorious.
All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name.
Same God who has gathered us here to worship now greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty Lord, God of majesty, your glory is shown forth in the heavens. The works of your hands proclaim your praise. And so we join with all of heaven and earth, angels and saints, proclaiming you as holy. For you have shown us your great faithfulness in Jesus Christ, Dying, he trampled down death. Rising, he inaugurated your kingdom. And he calls to each of us to come find our rest in him. And so help us to worship, O God, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lift high our praises, feed us at your table, and send us out into the world as your people, renewed in faith, hope, and love. All to the praise of your name, through Jesus. Amen.
Remember that our Lord Jesus Christ can sympathize with us in our weaknesses, since in every respect he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then be bold with boldness approach the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more into your likeness and image, through Jesus Christ, the light of the world.
Amen. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Continuing with our children's messages, mostly from the Gospels, and so the choir is going to be my children's message attendees this week, but we'll all listen to the story together. This is one of Jesus' stories, one of his parables, the story of the two builders. If you want to go home and read about it, it's Matthew 7 and Luke 6. Matthew 7 and Luke 6. There were many people who said, "I will follow Jesus," but did nothing about it. They claimed to be his disciples, but they did not show love to others or change their attitude. Not in any way. "Why do you keep saying, 'Lord, Lord,'" Jesus challenged them, "when it means nothing? If you want to be my disciples, you must act on those words." He told this story about being a true disciple. "Everyone who listens to my words and does something about them is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. First he laid the foundation, digging deep down. Then he worked carefully, slowly, surely, and built up the whole house layer by layer. At last, he had a solid building that was strong and secure and on the rock. Then the wind and the rains came, battering the house. The flood rose high and lashed the foundations, and the house on the rock stood firm. But the person," Jesus said, "who hears my word and does nothing about them is like a fool who built his house on the sand. This man took the easy way, raising up the building very quickly on shallow foundations. Soon he had a tall house, and he settled down, smiling and thinking, 'Ah, now I'm secure.' But then the rains came, pouring down. The rivers flooded their banks, rushing towards the house in a great torrent. The whole building tottered, broke apart, and collapsed with a great crash. There was nothing left of that house but a pile of rubble. Jesus said to them, 'Don't take the easy way. Take the hard way. Build your life on deep foundations and put my teaching into actions.'" One of the things that I think even as adults we need to be reminded of is that it's not exactly just what we say, but it's the actions that we back up our words with. And it's especially true in the life of faith. We can say we're faithful, we can go to church, we can look to the world like we are Christians, but if the background, the everyday lives, the Monday to Saturday, does not reflect what we do here on the hour of Sunday, we're just like those who build their houses on sand. So let's take that with us into this week. Thank you, choir. Let's turn again to God in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, grant us grace so that we abide in him and his word abides in us. Open the scriptures to us for our salvation and open us to them so that we may glorify you, bear much fruit, and so prove to be his disciples. All this we ask in his precious name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, starting in the 6th verse. We're beginning a new series this week. The Psalms we've put aside, and we're moving into our fall series. We're calling this Tending the Soil, Tending the Soil. Throughout the scriptures, but particularly in the New Testament, we see that Paul and the apostles and Jesus use a lot of natural metaphors for the Christian life. A lot of growth, a lot of plant images, a lot of dirt images. And especially as we're coming into the fall and thinking about, in some areas, harvest time, for some people, calving season, that it's also about a harvest of a different kind, the harvest of our lives for God. And so in these next couple of weeks, we'll dig deep, as it were, pardon the stretching of the metaphor, dig deep into some of these stories and really ask, where are we planted and how are we to grow? So our scripture, Luke 13, starting in the 6th verse, listen now to God's word. Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the man working the vineyard, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He, that is the tender of the vineyard, said, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it. I put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. If not, you can cut it down." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reverend Lillian Daniel, a minister in the United Church of Christ, shared a reflection on a beloved childhood memory. Her mother once planned a big garden party, envisioning a yard filled with blooming daffodils, which she had just planted. However, as the day of the event approached, the weather had stayed cold, and not a single bloom was ready, not even the flower poking out of the soil yet. Nevertheless, the day came, the guests arrive, and the lawn is filled with daffodils. It was more than her mother could ever dream of. All the guests marveled. There was no garden like it in the whole neighborhood. None had any such blooms as hers this year. But then the guests went home, and the flowers, the daffodils, drooped. Lillian's mother went through the yard carefully removing the cut flowers she had bought, which she had attached to chopsticks with twist ties and stuck in the ground. Reverend Daniel comments here, writing, "Those daffodils weren't fake, but they were short-lived and flimsy, with no bulb under the earth to allow them to survive the rough weather. On the surface, and for a short while, they looked real, but they didn't have enough going underneath the surface to last." Reverend Daniel's point in this story of hers is often in our lives of faith, we fill our spiritual bouquet, as it were, with beautiful looking ideas and practices that in the end wilt because they're not really connected to anything. And that's a good lesson. But I think this story points out a larger reality, that as people of faith, we are often too focused on the fruits of our faith, on the fruits of our faith, while neglecting the roots of our faith. In congregations across this country, we want more children in worship. We want more people coming to faith and filling the pews. We want more mission and outreach opportunities. In our personal, spiritual lives, we want to be better at prayer. We want to have a richer Bible knowledge. We want to possess a close and intimate knowledge and relationship with the Lord. We desire all these results. But we seldom ask, what is at the root of it all? How does the foundation give rise to spiritual fruit? We are, as it were, hyper fruit focused. In this way, we're not unlike the vineyard owner in Jesus' parable. He came to the fig tree looking for fruit, and there was none. Now, this was not the first time we learned, for he had been coming to that tree maybe day after day for 3 years to find fruit, and still there was none. At this point, he rightfully fed up and ready to chuck the tree out altogether, root and all. Now, let's not get ahead of ourselves. It wasn't wrong for him to expect there to be fruit. Fruit trees are meant to produce fruit. It means they're healthy. It means they're living. But he never got at the source of the issue. He didn't see the results, so he's ready to get rid of it. He didn't look to the source. He never thought about how the tree was being nourished or if it maybe needed a little more care. He was focused so much on the fruit that he neglected the roots. In our congregational life, in our Christian life, we are meant to bear fruit. This is an image that the scripture uses all the time. It means that we are spiritually healthy, thriving. John the Baptist said at the Jordan River to the crowds, he said, "Bear fruit worthy of repentance." The Apostle Paul later wrote to the Galatians and he described these fruits. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As Christians, as individual Christians, we're meant to produce these in our lives, to grow in them day by day. And congregations, too, are supposed to bear fruit. We're supposed to make disciples and impact our community for the gospel. We are meant to bear fruit. But when we are hyper-fruit focused, without thinking of what's underneath, we may find that all of our efforts fall flat. Like the daffodils, we have nothing under the surface to give the growth. Have you ever tried to fake it till you make it at being patient or being peaceful or having self-control? It doesn't last long, especially, and this is a temptation of mine, especially when we're driving down 95 South trying to get home, or 64 West trying to go somewhere, and everyone thinks they need to drive as slow as possible. Patience and peace are not there. If 80 people started showing up to church each Sunday, just all of a sudden, would we have the foundation from which to disciple them, to care for them? We may find that we become burnt out in trying to do so. In our hyper-fixation, we become like those who try to tape grocery store fruit to living trees. It eventually will rot because it's not connected to anything. And I would say that much of the despair, the imposter syndrome, the hopelessness that we might feel in our Christian lives is a result of being so focused on fruit. Congregational anxiety and a scarcity mindset, maybe for the same reason. We're so focused on the product that we never get at the source. Where is it coming from? What is it growing from? It's not sustainable. So if we're not fruit-focused, we must be root-focused. This is what the gardener in the parable understood. When the vineyard owner was ready to chuck out the tree, the gardener got to the source. He said, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it." Instead of focusing on the lack of fruit, he zeroed in on how was the plant being nourished? What was the soil like? Now, I know my gardeners here can agree where a plant is rooted matters. Does it get enough of the right stuff so that it can live, or does it die from lack of nutrients? It's the same in our spiritual life. To be root focused in our spiritual life, we must examine ourselves. We must begin to look and see, what is the soil that we are rooted in? What are the nutrients that we are drawing from? Where are you planted? What is the soil like? Are you planted in Christian community, in worship, in fellowship? Or are you trying to do it on your own? You've had enough of church people. Just going to do it by myself. How are you being nourished? Are you being nourished in scripture and in prayer? Or on social media and by talking heads? You know, for me, a good spiritual life killer is the news 24/7. Where are we being nourished? These things matter. These things matter because they mean the difference between a flourishing, God-honoring life and a malnourished, self-centered life. And it's not, as we may think, it's not the fact that you're just rooted. If you just have the good intention of being rooted somewhere, because not all spiritual soil is equal. But it really matters who you are rooted in, who you are rooted in. You see, the claim of our faith at the end of the day is that it's not ultimately up to us to bear fruit in our lives. We can tend the soil, we can root ourselves in the right place, but it's ultimately up to those nutrients, where we are rooted, who we are rooted in. If we are rooted in Christ, that's when our lives will bear fruit. In John chapter 15, Jesus says to his disciples, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from me, you can do nothing. It is Christ who nourishes us, Christ who gives us all those things that are necessary to grow. So as we abide in him, we will produce good spiritual fruit. We're often distracted, I think, by all the things in our lives that are pulling us this way and that, all of the meetings and the activities and the friends and the news and the everything. And we often become, I think, a plant unrooted, sort of just taken around to wherever we're going to go. And so we have to consciously come back and say, where are we rooted? Are we rooting ourselves in Christ? Or are we just trying to, again, make it on our own? Christ is that good soil, and he nourishes us with the benefits of his life and death and resurrection. We partake of that. We partake of that when we come around this table, when we eat the broken bread and drink the poured cup. He feeds us with his life so that we would bear fruit in keeping with repentance. It's a gift of God's grace. If you are rooted in Christ, my friends, if you abide in him, you can be assured that no matter what may come, you will bear fruit for the kingdom. So what might it look like if we were to follow the gardener's advice? If we were to spend a year tending our roots? Well, the session here at Hebron has decided that this will be the year that we tend our roots, our congregational roots. We will dig deep and discern who we are and who God is calling us to be at this time and in this place. We will ask necessary questions and seek the best way to nourish our work together. We will pray and sing songs, all asking for clarity and guidance, how God desires that we engage his mission in the world. This is what we're going to do together. But what would it look like if each of you decided to tend your own roots this year? What would that look like? Maybe it's taking up a new prayer practice or a Bible reading plan. Maybe it looks like joining one of the weekly Bible studies or small groups. Many of you have already. Or maybe it's recommitting yourself to weekly worship and Christian fellowship, knowing that it's only in community that we can grow and thrive. Whatever it may be, I urge you to commit yourself to this self-examination, to examine where you're planted, how you're being spiritually nourished, how you are abiding in Jesus, knowing that in Jesus you will bear much fruit. May it be so. Amen. One of the things we'll be doing, like I just said, is praying. So let's pray our prayer for discernment together. Ready? Lord, show us your will for Hebron and how you are calling me to serve. Amen. Thank you. earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Therefore, let us dedicate our life and labors to the work of God's church in the world. Gracious and almighty God, you pour out your gifts in abundance upon us. You give us time, talents, and resources to use, to enjoy, and to employ for your glory. And so we offer these gifts. Take them and use them. Help us to be good stewards of all the gifts you give, and use them for the glory and praise of your name, for the building up of your church, and the proclamation of the gospel. This we ask. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen. Hear now the words of institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat of it, do it in remembrance of me." And in a similar way, after the supper had ended, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take, drink. This is my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me." With these words, our Lord Jesus Christ commands all believers to eat this broken bread and to drink this cup in true faith and in the certain hope of his coming again in glory. In this supper, God declares to us that all of our sins have been forgiven once for all by Christ's sacrifice on the cross. In this meal, God also declares to us that we are grafted to Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit and seated with him where his true body resides at the right hand of the Father, where he desires us to worship him. As often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord crucified and risen until he comes again in glory. So in obedience to Christ's command and in a similar manner, I take this bread and this cup to be set apart for a special purpose as signs and seals of God's grace, the true body and blood of Christ for us. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Friends, this is the Lord's table. Christ invites all those who trust in him to share the feast he has prepared. But first, let us turn to God with thanks and praise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Eternal God, holy and mighty, it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise and to worship you in every place where your glory abides. You laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. They shall all perish, but you shall endure. You are always the same, and your years will never end. You made us in your image and called us to be your people. But we turned from you, leaving sin and death to reign. Still you loved us and sought us. In Christ, your grace defeated death and opened the way to eternal life. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. You sent your only begotten, in whom your fullness dwells, to be for us the way and the truth and the life. Revealing your love, Jesus taught those who would hear him, healed those who would believe in him, received those who sought him, and lifted the burden of their sin. We glorify you for your great power and love at work in Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new people by water and the Spirit. Remembering then all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and this cup from the gifts you have given us and celebrate with joy the redemption won by Christ. Accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as a holy and living offering of ourselves, that our lives may proclaim the one crucified and risen. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with all who live in Christ, baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Remember your church, O Lord. Unite her in the truth of your word and empower her in ministry. Remember the world of nations. By your Spirit, renew the face of the earth. Let peace and justice prevail. Remember our friends and family. Bless them and watch over them. Be gracious to them and give them peace. Remember the sick and the suffering, the aged and the dying. Encourage them and give them hope. Help us, O God, to love as Christ loved. Knowing our own weaknesses, may we stand with all who stumble. Sharing in Christ's suffering, may we remember all who suffer. Held in Christ's love, may we embrace all whom the world denies. Rejoicing in Christ's forgiveness, may we forgive all who sin against us. Give us strength to serve you faithfully until the promised day of resurrection, when with the redeemed of all the ages, we will feast with you at your table in glory. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup we bless is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Friends, these are the gifts of God, and they are for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith and with thanksgiving. Today we'll be taking communion via intinction. So at the appropriate time, the usher will excuse you from your seat, and we'll make our way around the sanctuary, where you'll come to me and place your hand one on top of the other, and I'll place the bread there, and I'll say, the body of Christ broken for you. And you can respond saying, amen, or alleluia, or silence, or whatever is most God-honoring. And then you'll go to my right, your left, where the elders will either have the cup, the chalice, or the tray. And if you go to the cup, you'll dip into the cup, and they'll say, the blood of Christ shed for you, and you can respond in the same way, or you can take a cup and go back and be seated. We also have gluten-free bread, if that's what you need, so just let me know when you come forward. The table is ready. You are welcome. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you that you have graciously fed us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. By this, you assure us of your favor and goodness towards us, that we are incorporated into the body of your Son, the blessed company of all your people. We are heirs through hope of your everlasting kingdom by the merits of Christ's precious death and passion. So assist us, we pray, by your grace, O Father, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and walk in goodness the way that you have prepared for us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
This place, we'll go down the hall to Holman Hall for our luncheon, our kickoff luncheon. We'll hear about a number of the Sunday school opportunities and studies throughout the week that are happening and how you can re-engage and tend your roots. But before we do that, let's pray for our meal. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the food that we are about to receive. Bless it to our nourishment, and bless us to be a nourishment to one another and to this world in need, shining forth Christ's light to all whom we may meet, through him and with him and in him, forever and ever. Amen. Now go from this place to love and serve the Lord. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day, always, forever.